Our fourth case for this morning is Leggin against United Continental Holdings. Mr. Richardson.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Boyce Richardson. Oh. May it please the court. My name is Boyce Richardson, and I am the attorney for the appellant in this matter, George Leggin. This case represents the archetype of a unilateral contract. As a direct result of the public pronouncement of the Million Mile Flyer program and representations from United employees, appellant reasonably believed that he could bind United to its offer of lifetime benefits through performance.
But the problem I have is looking at this from the other angle. There is no concept of a Million Mile Flyer separate and apart from the Mileage Plus program. You could have flown 2 million miles if you started flying before they ever established a Mileage Plus program, and you'd only get credit for the million. So if it is, you know, an especially exalted rank in the Mileage Plus program, it's subject to the fine print. Now, this may be stupid on United's part. I feel as though maybe they should say, don't rely on anything we say at the top of every page, and people would probably be well advised to take that thought. But it doesn't mean that they didn't say we may change the benefits. And there have been a bunch of these benefits cases around the country. So why is this one different?
Your Honor, while I would respectfully disagree with your former point, I would certainly agree with your latter point as
reliance
on statements by United. First and foremost, this case is different and apart from the other cases such as Simon, Mozingo, and Gross, because this involves separate unilateral consideration. Mozingo and other cases involve alterations to the underlying benefits program. Here, Million Mile Flyer wasn't simply a status in Mileage Plus.
That's the question. You're assuming the answer to the question before us, right?
More so,
United certainly argues that it is just a status in the Mileage Plus program. So don't we need to resolve that?
Yes, Your Honor, we do. And United itself has resolved that. The statuses in Mileage Plus are Premier Executive, and 1K. And now, under the rebranded Mileage Plus, they're Silver, Gold, Platinum, and 1K.
And then Million.
I thought your point was that a promise of lifetime benefits is simply flatly inconsistent with the reservation of rights.
Yes, Your Honor, that is certainly one of our points.
And if such a promise, if the choice is enforce it or treat it as illusory and fraudulent, then we can deal with that choice. Let me ask you, though, I have a little trouble because, as I understand it, the benefits of Premier Executive or the Million Mile status have been changing, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. Let me ask you that. I'd like to ask you to compare Mr. Loggin's position today versus his position in 2006 when he qualified for the Million Mile status. How is he worse off, in your view?
Your Honor, Mr. Loggin is worse off today than he was in 2006 because the transition from Premier Executive to Premier Gold has cost him both status in terms of a tier. He was second tier under Premier Executive. He's now third tier under Premier Gold.
Still at the 50,000 mile tier. Renamed it. Premier Executive was the 50,000 mile tier. Premier Gold is the 50,000 mile tier.
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct. However, only United
has
characterized.
I couldn't actually figure out. What concretely did he lose?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
What concretely did he lose in the way of benefits?
In the way of benefits, he lost his tier status.
What does it mean?
It means that his ability to be able to procure upgrades the same level as he could under Premier Executive has been hampered under Premier Gold.
So Gold doesn't have as many upgrades for free flights or moving from coach to first class?
Correct, Your Honor.
And the accrual of miles, right?
Correct. You get 50%
redeemable
bonus.
So what is the upgrade to? What are you upgraded to?
Upgrade from particularly coach to from basically coach to economy first or economy plus or first class or business class.
You've lost me. So you're upgraded from a regular coach seat to what?
Yes, at particular times, depending on your tier status and the number of miles that you have accumulated, you could be upgraded at either an hourly period, sometimes 24 hours, sometimes 48.
Could you be a little clearer?
Yes.
If I have a coach seat and I get an upgrade, what does that mean? Do I get another seat or what?
Yes, you move forward in the plane. You are literally upgraded.
I'm in coach. I move up a few seats in coach.
No, you could get upgraded to business class or first class, to where you get additional.
Is that what he got? Is that what your client got? He had a lot of first class and business class upgrades.
Yes, Your Honor. Prior to the transition from Premier Executive to Premier Gold. Okay. And to answer Your Honor's question.
Now he doesn't get any upgrades to business class or first class or fewer upgrades?
Correct.
Why does he get fewer?
What do you mean correct? I said, which is it?
Now he does
fewer
not.
Fewer upgrades or no upgrades?
Now
to
he gets
business class.
Fewer upgrades, yes.
Fewer.
Because
Why?
He is third tier, because it goes through the tiers. So the individuals in first tier receive upgrades. And then the second tier receive upgrades, and then the third.
So your theory is that United was prohibited from creating any higher tiers?
No, Your Honor. Our theory is that United was prohibited from transitioning people who had vested with Million Mile Flyer benefits into alternative tiers. So in this particular case, our position is that United should have transitioned Mr. Logan from Premier Executive to Premier Platinum, which would have afforded him the same benefits after the merger of United and Continental.
That's what you really want?
Yes, Your Honor.
From gold to platinum?
Yes, Your Honor. Our appellant simply wants the same status that he had.
But he
before.
Really just wants the same status, because as somebody who follows United's tiers more than I should, even platinum isn't the old-fashioned, you know, Premier Executive. They change stuff all the time, taking advantage of the reservation of rights. You know, next year he may think he really belongs in 1K if he wants the upgrades as often as he used to receive them when he first became a Million Mile Flyer. Essentially what you want to say is there's a list of benefits that existed in 2006 that went along with getting Million Mile status, and those should be replicated. But I thought United had also sweetened the pot in some ways.
No, you're not.
The spouses, right? I mean, he can designate somebody?
Yes, Your Honor, that is correct. However,
was not the case, right?
In this particular case, it doesn't pertain as to whether or not our potential client, our appellant, has a spouse.
Well, not everybody gets to use every benefit, but if United says, well, you know, we used to make you Premier Executive with this package of benefits, now we're going to make you Premier Gold, but we're going to let you designate a significant other, you know, whether you have one or not, and whether this person flies with you all of the time, can't really be United's problem.
Yes, Your Honor, but what can be United's problem is that they offer lifetime benefits, which they define
as... What would happen if United went broke again?
And then United ceased to function?
Well,
as an
it goes broke. It'll survive in some form the way it did last time.
Your Honor, in that particular case, our position would be that as long as United is extant, that it should be required to uphold
benefits. What does bankruptcy do to these rights, I'm asking you?
We do not believe that it would have any impact on rights unless United has...
Don't all the creditors in those airline bankruptcies allow the airlines to keep their programs in place so they don't lose their best customers?
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct.
It's just
Chase
a matter
would be
of
very
agreement.
Disappointed in the event that the Mileage Plus program was eliminated.
It's just a contract, though. I mean, the truth is, if there were a bankruptcy, it would be subject to renegotiation.
Correct. And in this particular case, our argument remains the fact that Mileage Plus, the underlying program, and Million Mile Flyer are distinct.
And that's where your evidence on that is weak at best. I mean, if that were the case, then you have, I think, a smooth sale. If it's not the case, you could address the problem that Judge Hamilton raised earlier. What does it mean to say you have lifetime benefits when you're really crossing your fingers behind your back and saying, unless we decide to change them? It's a little bit like this employment at will contract we were talking about. So the problem is to even find the million mile status. It's part of Mileage Plus, right? That's where you find it on the website.
Your Honor, our distinction on that level would be that it is, while it, we do not dispute that one has to be a member of Mileage Plus in order to be a Million Mile Flyer, we do dispute that Million Mile Flyer and the Million Mile Flyer program are part of Mileage Plus. We believe that they are separate and distinct.
Is it correct that he is still being treated as if he was flying, as if he were flying 50,000 miles every year, whether he does so or not?
Yes, Your Honor, that is correct. However, to address, I believe, Your Honor's concern as well, none of United's advertisements ever identified Million Mile Flyer status with the 50,000 mile level of Mileage Plus. Every advertisement distributed by United stated that it would be lifetime at the premier executive level without exception.
And premier executive was 50,000, right?
Correct, Your Honor. However, that operated under the assumption that the 50,000 mile level and premier executive would be distinct at some date, which they are now after United has modified the program. But at the time the appellant accepted this, they were one and the same. Your Honors,
okay.
I see that.
Yeah, you're out of time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ms. Hemrick. So, Ms. Hemrick, how can United call something lifetime when really the only benefit that we get from that is to understand that we can't trust anything they say?
I would address that in a couple of ways, Your Honor. One is, I mean, as United's witness made clear, it is lifetime, but everything is subject to the
so
Mileage
it's not
Plus
lifetime.
Rules always.
It's lifetime unless we decide tomorrow that it would be a better business model to just abolish Million Mile altogether. You admit that could happen.
Yes, I would agree that United has the ability under the Mileage Plus rules to abolish the benefits of, that it gives to Million Mile Flyers entirely.
Well, he didn't pay anything for it.
He didn't make that point.
I agree. But it seems to me, if you don't pay for something, it's a little...
He spent hundreds of thousands of dollars buying tickets with United rather than British Airways, right? That's the record that we've
got. Yes, that's true. And for every one of those tickets,
well,
he flew
he
from point
more?
A to point B.
Did United charge more than British Airways?
There's nothing in the record, Your Honor.
There's nothing in the record, although what airlines do with these frequent flyer programs is they want you to get into the game and build up miles. So if Southwest is willing to fly you to Houston for $275 and United will fly you down there for $3.25, they want you to choose the United flight, even though it's $50 more, because you're going to get, you know, upwards of 2,000 miles for that, 1950 to be exact.
I'm impressed that you know that.
I
think it's important to recognize a couple of things.
So in other words, there is money on the table. That's the only point I want to make. People pay a little more sometimes, even if there's competition for a route, so that they can earn the miles.
Sure. I mean, they're making a choice based on what their current understanding of the current Mileage
Correct.
Plus program.
Based
Absolutely.
On the promises made.
Right.
Which, again, are explicitly subject to being changed by United at any time.
So how is a promise of lifetime benefit not deceptive or fraudulent?
Well, I would say two things on that. First of all, in this case, well, actually three things. One is the Congress in the Airline Deregulation Act of 1978 made very explicit, and the Supreme Court has recognized this multiple times, that Congress's determination was the best way to promote competition, innovation, et cetera, in the airline industry was through market forces. And so the Airline Deregulation
Act
specifically...
Market forces are great.
Right,
but they also tend not to approve of fraudulent promises.
Well, that's the second piece, which is the Department of Transportation has the authority to regulate and to bring enforcement actions if it decides that the actions of an airline, including activities related to frequent flyer,
are deceptive
or fraudulent.
Are you arguing this claim is preempted? Are you arguing this breach of contract claim?
It's not preempted as a breach of contract claim.
Okay.
If the claim was that the contract is somehow illusory or fraudulent or is it because of the reservation of rights, yes, that claim would be preempted. Because that would be an attempt not to enforce United's self-imposed obligations, which say black letter law, we can change at any time. It would be an attempt to impose other obligations based on state law norms of, you know, what constitutes appropriate consideration or what constitutes
fraud. Well, then why not simply interpret a promise of lifetime benefits as having as being flatly inconsistent with the reservation of rights?
But the thing is,
therefore having trumped it as a later promise.
No. Because there is no separate, there's no separate promise of lifetime benefits. There is a promise, well, not even a
million
promise.
Mile flyer reward.
Yes, exactly. It's a benefit.
Will retain the benefits and privileges of premier executive status for life in recognition of their loyalty to United.
But the whole thing is under the umbrella of Mileage Plus. It's not separate from Mileage Plus. It's being offered
so
as a benefit
hollow.
Under the Mileage Plus program, and therefore it's always subject to the Mileage Plus program rules, which allow United to change the benefits at
any
time.
That's now, a circle. Counsel, that is a logical circle. Why not simply treat this as a modification of the program, because a promise of lifetime benefits with a reservation of rights to change them makes no sense, at least for an honest business.
Lifetime benefits, lifetime in this sense, should be contrasted, in a sense, with the annual status levels. Right.
But
if you are not a million, the difference between a million mile flyer. I'm sorry, Aaron.
Excuse me, Ms. Hemrick. You are saying the logic of your position doesn't support what you're now about to argue, which is you usually have to earn the 50,000 miles every year, and now because United could say, we've decided that even our million mile flyers need to earn even the first 50,000 miles. They could, according to you, they could change this in any way they wish.
That's correct.
They could say, we're still giving, you know, a spouse until we decide to change that, some benefits or whatever, but there is nothing guaranteed for lifetime under your view.
That is correct, subject to, again, the Department of Transportation's ability to bring an enforcement action if it thinks that the practices are fraudulent or deceptive or unfair, and also subject, again, to the competitive market forces that Congress has said are what should govern the airline industry in general. And, you know, if United were to eliminate the Million Mile Flyer program completely, that's certainly going to have an impact on its business. And that's not what it did here. Just let's also remember that. And in addition,
but you're
it
claiming
did not
you've
even,
got the right to do so, correct?
Yes, that is true.
Is he a, who is Logan? Is he a sophisticated, is he a businessman?
Yes, Mr. Logan had his own business.
What's his business?
As I recall, it has to do with designing and selling clothing. I think there was perfume involved at some point as well, but he had a contract to sell product to Nordstrom's for a period of time. We actually explored in his deposition the fact that, you know, he's entered into other contracts and he reads contracts and understands them.
So he must have had to fly to London a lot if British Airways was his other airline of choice.
I don't recall him being specific in the record about exactly where he was flying, but that certainly
was
one of them.
Did the British Airways and United Airlines routes over, well, they must overlap to some extent.
To some extent, yes.
Do they overlap a lot?
They're certainly not completely congruent. No, British Air, you know, United is largely, you know, one of the largest domestic air carriers in the United States. British Airways obviously is not.
How many million mile flyers are there for United?
I do not have that number.
I mean, is it?
Several thousand.
Okay.
Several thousand. But one point I did want to make is, again, as Judge Wood recognized, the only, and Judge Hamilton, as you have also recognized, the only lifetime benefit that was ever promised as part of the, you know, part of the program was lifetime premier executive status, which he still has. That has not changed. The benefits associated with the status have changed, and the name has changed, but, you know, obviously the name change, that can't possibly be a breach. And as you pointed out, Judge Hamilton, there's no promise that we're not going to have another tier above the 50,000 mile level. He's still got the same status. The benefits associated with that status have changed, but that's clearly allowed by the contract. And as Judge Wood points out, he got a new benefit, which was the Continental program prior to the merger had a benefit, which was this spousal, you could give your spouse the same million mile status that you had, or they called it infinite elite over at Continental. And
does it have to be a spouse? Can it be a partner?
No, it does not have to be a spouse.
You could just name anybody, your best friend who you like to fly around with.
I believe it might have to be someone who lives within the same household. I'd have to go back and look at the specifics on that.
It could be a daughter.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. But no, it does not have to be a spouse.
A pet?
So. A pet? Could it be a pet?
Poster's not maybe his cat.
That raises a whole other set of issues having to do. Maybe it depends on how much you like your pet. I don't know.
I don't think that's going to be a good test.
So, I mean, again, I think that I would say that the district court here properly recognized that the central issue really is whether Mr. Lagan can show a contract with United that is separate and apart from the Mileage Plus program, and he clearly cannot. He did not adduce any evidence of a separate contract. I mean, he points to the 1997 newsletter, which on its face is simply announcing a new benefit or a new reward within the Mileage Plus program.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, okay. How does United expect people to respond to that news? We're offering this lifetime benefit if you reach 1,000,000 miles. Why isn't that just obviously a unilateral contract offer that can be accepted by performance?
Because, again, it's all subject to the Mileage Plus rules. I mean, you
any
know,
other reason? And so that leads us back to the contract between lifetime and our fingers are crossed. This means nothing.
But right? it doesn't mean nothing. And
Mr. you're telling Lagan, us you have the right to cut off these 1,000,000 mile flyers anytime you like for any reason you like.
Yes, but that I don't think that's equivalent to saying it means nothing. Mr. Lagan has received the benefits of this status for many years. He's still receiving the benefits of the status.
That's a different question.
And that's just is that you've been nice enough not to pull the rug out from under.
Well, it's not just nice enough. I
do
mean,
other,
you know, it's a market
because
competition issue.
Because you expect your...
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Sure, go ahead.
You expect your customers to respond to this offer by shifting their loyalties as Mr. Lagan did, right?
Yes.
That's the purpose of this program.
Yes, it is.
You expect people to rely on this promise.
We expect people who enroll in the Mileage Plus program to read the rules, to understand what the rules are.
To understand the difference between lifetime and reservations and fingers crossed.
To understand that
lifetime doesn't mean lifetime.
That lifetime means lifetime unless
we change our mind.
Unless we change our mind.
That's exactly right.
That is
the case.
Okay.
Do other airlines have similar programs?
Similar
to the 1,000,000 mile.
Yes, they do.
They do?
Yes, they do. And they also, to my knowledge, all have reservation of rights clauses in their governing rules that govern their programs. So it's very standard.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Did his time expire? I'll give you one more minute, Mr. Richardson. We're running late enough anyway, so why not?
May it please
the court. Has he gone back to British Airways?
No, Your Honor. Mr. Logan has not gone back to British Airways. I believe at this point he has been flying Delta.
Does he fly first class?
He flies Delta. He has abandoned United, though.
Yes, Your Honor. He has abandoned United in the aftermath.
Oh, he went to Delta?
I believe so, and other airlines. Now,
does Delta have a 1,000,000 mile plan or something similar?
Yes, Your Honor. I believe that they do. But again, it would take Mr. Logan the same decade to accrue the 1,000,000 miles on Delta that it took to accrue on United. In this particular case...
So why do you go to Delta, just out of pique?
Yes, Your Honor, and in part because the choices in the United States are fairly limited, but in this particular context, he believed that Delta treated its customers better than United had. And in this case,
words... Does he fly first class or coach or what?
Yes, Your Honor, he generally flies either business class or first class.
Words... Well, if he flies first class, what benefits would he get from the 1,000,000 mile business? You don't get upgraded.
Well, he gets miles
from first
to use
class.
For other trips, I suppose.
Yes, with the 50% redeemable bonus or the 100% redeemable bonus that he originally got upon vesting. Your Honor, I see that.
So every so often there's a trip you want to take that you don't have to pay dollars for. You can give them a certain number of miles.
So when he switched to Delta, did he verify that their whatever 1,000,000 mile program was not cancelable?
Your Honor, I'm unaware whether or not Mr. Logan verified that before shifting to to Delta.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. Thanks to both counsel. Take the case under advisement.